Our scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Worship is for the soul what good food is for the body. And time spent in worship, especially worship with God's people on the Lord's Day, is never time wasted. So very good to see you here this morning. And as is usually the case, we are blessed and graced by visitors. We're so glad to have you with us. And for those watching at home, we're always pleasantly surprised by many of you visiting with us online, and we urge you to come as soon as you can at every opportunity to be with us in person. You may have noticed that the title for our lesson this morning is simply A Faith That Saves, Saving Faith. And you might be thinking, and I would understand if you did, is there any other kind? I mean, the Bible speaks of faith so often and always, but not always, but seemingly always in a positive way. After all, the Bible says that we are those who, as Christians, walk by faith and not by sight in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul quotes from the Old Testament in Romans 1 when he says, "The just shall live by faith." And Jesus himself said in John chapter 8, "Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins." The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who with diligence seek Him." And these are just a very few scant passages throughout the Bible, especially the New Testament, that encourage us that, yes, faith is so very important. And as we just read together a few moments ago, these are Paul's words in Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, wherein we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." And so, yes, as we think of saving faith, a faith that saves, after all, Peter says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls in 1 Peter chapter 1, is there any other kind of faith than saving faith? And of course, the more we think about it, the more we realize, well, yes, there is. For example, it matters a lot as to what you believe. All faith is not based upon truth. Maybe you've noticed the last little while, it may be because of just the population growing. It may be because of social media. It may be because they're just more nuts than there used to be. I don't know. But there are a lot of strange, nonsensical ideas floating around and purported to be truthful. I've mentioned before, but the reason I have and do again is because it amazes me that there are so many people who will fight and argue and defend the point that, yes, the earth is flat. Now, I think we'd agree. And if you are a flat earther, don't come to me after the service and try to tell me why you are. I've heard all the arguments, and in fact, one of the most wasted times of experience I can imagine is one I see every day online when somebody will have something on this subject, and and the messages are filled with people trying to talk them out of it. Well, when you waste your time talking to someone like this who has their mind made up on truth, which is untruth, and a belief on that which is absolutely false, with no good reasoning behind it all, and refusing to see the evidence on the other side, it's kind of what the writer of Proverbs talks about when he speaks of answering a fool according to his folly. And this is one time when it's not a good idea. But I just use that as an example of a larger concept, and that is a lot of people believe a lot of things that are just not true. And I will say, in fact, this is the kindest things I will say to a flat earther. You can believe the earth is flat and still go to heaven. You can. Your salvation doesn't depend upon the shape you think this planet is. But that being said, there are some things that are more connected to your salvation, which are important for you to believe the right things concerning and not believe conspiracy theories or untruths about. It's not enough just to believe. You have to believe the right thing. Jesus said in John 8, and verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, why? Well, in that same chapter, he says, we've already mentioned the verse, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. He's just said, before saying the words we referenced about the truth making us free, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Our faith has to be based upon the truth of what God has said. And so, yes, you can believe something, not be saved by it because it's something that's false. It may be a belief in something which is completely untrue. Now, you believe your priest or pastor or preacher can save you? That's not true. You believe that you don't need to be saved because everybody's saved? Well, that's not true. You believe that somehow your money can save you? Well, that's not true. Just because you believe something with all your heart and put your life and life's work into it doesn't make it real, doesn't make it true, and doesn't make a belief like that a saving faith. When Jesus said in Mark 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, he doesn't mean by that he that believes anything and is baptized for any reason shall be saved. No, it's belief in the truth of what God has said and baptized in the way that God himself has presented to us. It matters what you believe. And so, is all faith saving faith? Well, not faith in the wrong thing. But also, it's not saving faith if it's a faith that is inactive, that doesn't do anything but just agree, acknowledge, or admit that the truth is the truth. In the absence of action, faith really is null and void. In the New Testament, there is a time when the Bible speaks of a dead faith. It speaks of a faith that has nothing attached to it by way of productivity. It's James' words in James chapter 2. And he likens a faith that doesn't do anything to a corpse, a lifeless body. And he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also, being alone. One of the major misconceptions that religious people have right now, and it's been the case for many, many years, is this idea that there is a saving faith that is somehow disconnected from any response otherwise or additionally from mankind concerning salvation. In other words, we're told so often that the hallmark of the sinner's prayer concerns the idea, just accept God and Christ as your personal Savior and say, come into my heart, and with that faith, with that belief, you'll be saved. Well, does that kind of faith save you? Well, I'll remind you again of what James said. A faith without works is dead, just as a body without the Spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead. And there's a reason for that. At its barest, most basic, fundamental level, faith is only and always expressed by what it does, not by just what it holds as true. In every area of life, we understand that. You go to your medical doctor and he says, you need to take this medicine and you'll get better. I remember a few weeks ago, I had a terrible case of poison ivy. In fact, I was here at church on Sunday morning and I was in terrible shape with poison ivy. And somebody said, you need to go to the doctor. And Benita said, you need to go to the doctor. And so after Sunday morning services, we went to urgent care. And the doctor gave me, well, he said, I'm going to give you a shot. You've got poison ivy, and this will clear it up. He said, you can take these pills. It'll take about 5 days. Or you can take this shot. It'll take you just about a day. I don't like shots, but I said, give me the shot, please. Like Jerry Clower said, one of us needs some relief. I was in bad shape. But what if you had said that, and I said, you know what? I saw your name outside, and I see that you've got some letters after your name, so I realize you've had a lot of schooling. And I really appreciate people who do that. And I know a lot of money went into it, and I hope you get your student loans paid back, and you're in a good place financially, because we need people like you. We need doctors. We really do. And there's nobody that believes in doctors more than I do, and I just want you to know, I appreciate your service, but I don't think I want a shot, and I don't like to take pills. So I think I'll just leave like I am. But thank you for your time, and I'll be glad to pay you. And if I were to do that, and then later someone asked, did Dalton believe what the doctor said? Did he trust the doctor's prescription? Did he have faith in that doctor? I think you would say, well, no. He didn't, because if he had had faith in the doctor, if he had trusted the doctor's prescription, if he had believed in what the doctor had said, he would do what the doctor had prescribed. And in the absence of following the doctor's orders, would I really have believed? Would I really have had faith? Would I really have trusted? And the answer is obvious when it comes to matters of medicine. But somehow we bring the same idea over to religious concerns. And the rules all change. You can have God through His Word, God through His very Son, using words such as, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved in Mark 16. Words like Peter's on Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Words like Peter's in 1 Peter chapter 3, the like figure where even now baptism doth also now save us. Words like Paul's, by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. Again, Paul, there is one baptism, Ephesians chapter 4. And yet with God saying all of that on the subject of salvation, clearly stating that faith alone without repentance and confession and baptism is not enough, still many, many people will say, I believe in Jesus. With all of my heart, I believe in the Bible and what God says about Jesus, and He is God's Son. and yet I think I will do it my own way. Now, is that real faith? Is that real belief? Is that real trust? And I think the answer is as obvious as the question was. And so, yes, all faith is not saving faith, because some faith doesn't do anything. And really, we're using semantical ideas here, which are nonsensical, because that's not faith at all. Because is dead faith really faith? Well, no, not really. Is a lifeless body a person? Well, no, because the Spirit's left. Is a lifeless faith really faith? No, because there's no action attached with it. But one more thing about faith. Is all faith saving faith? And I know oftentimes we stop the subject and we stop the sermon right where I left it a moment ago. Well, you've got to believe in Christ as God's Son, but you also have to repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ, and yes, as Jesus said, be baptized. But there's one more aspect to it. Is all faith saving faith? Well, Peter talks about our salvation in Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1. How by the resurrection of Christ we have been begotten again to a living hope. A hope in heaven which is a sure thing, a thing that cannot be destroyed. And he goes on to say, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. And then a few verses later, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And you might think, well, I'm saved at baptism. That's true. All your sins are washed away as you submit in gospel obedience to baptism. And that blood washes the sins you've committed, and as you continue to walk in the light and confess your sins, it washes sins going forward. But there's a sense in which full salvation does not find itself accomplished until you can walk away from this life into the life to come and have the crown of life Paul talks about. Enjoy the full salvation that cannot be had here. Because while you're here and living this life, you can always walk away from your salvation. You shouldn't, but you can. You can always repudiate your salvation. You mustn't, but you can. But when life is over, your choices are over. Eternity's ahead of you. And now you've received the end, the fulfillment, the consummation of all the faith you've had, the salvation of your souls, which means faith is not saving faith unless it keeps on keeping on. Unless that faith continues walking in the light of God's Word. That faith continues trusting in God enough to do what God says do. A faith that keeps on keeping on regardless what this world says about it, regardless what your friends say about it, regardless how you might feel about it. It keeps on keeping on doing what God says do, no matter what, until you can say with the Apostle Paul, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. There's the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, in the fullest, most fulsome sense. And so the only question I'll leave you with this morning is this one. I'm not asking, do you have faith? Is your faith a saving faith? Do you believe in the truth, in Christ as God's Son, and everything God has said as being true and reliable? Do you believe that? Have you acted on that faith by doing what you know God has said do? And are you, as a Christian, having become a Christian by believing as God said and repenting as God said and confessing as the Bible teaches and being baptized as Jesus himself taught? Are you continuing day by day to walk in the light of God's word and do things God's way and not your own? Is your faith a saving faith? I hope so. But if you're outside of Christ this morning, or you're one who's wandered away from Christ, come back. If you need to come, come now, as together we stand and sing.